It's a podcast. And now,
welcome back to More Garbage.
Yo, yo, yo. Sunday Crunch with the More Garbage Podcast. All right.
Garbage.
Got my peoples in the house. El Treco, a.k.a. Track. Fubs. F.U.B.Z. And DJ JoJo. All right. Alongside myself, the Vandal. And today, we're going to be discussing the passing of a true legend, a true original, Bismarck Key. All right. An artist unlike any other. All right. Bismarck Key, you know, obviously known for his time with the Juice Crew, you know, Craig G, Master Ace, Cool G Rap, Big Daddy Kane, Roxanne, Shantae.
That's a lineup.
I mean,
MC Shan,
the grandfather of the crew.
And Marley Marl. Don't forget Marley
Marl. And, of course, the ringleader, Marley Marl.
We said TJ Swan, right?
TJ Swan, yeah.
Same condition, sir.
Yeah, mine is in really good condition, I got to say. And we listened to this record. This isn't a record that sits on the shelves because, you know, I got a child and we love playing pick and boogers at the breakfast table. speaking of picking, oh yeah, nice one. That's a good one. Speaking of picking boogers,
look at that, guys.
I saw Fat Joe talking about Biz. He was doing a good stream with God, I forgot the DJ's name. I'm blanking on it right now.
I saw a bit of it, so I forgot the DJ's name too.
And he was reminiscing how when Biz performed at the Apollo, and he slid out of a giant nose to perform picking boogers.
Picking boogers.
No, man. No one had that personality. I mean, you could say maybe like Shock G, you know, hat.
But it wasn't like just,
with a sense of humor.
But it was half broken. This is like pure, right? This is like
Bismarck, a true original. And right. It wasn't just that he was a lovable character. I mean, he was loved by everyone. Everybody. Like, really, he never had any beef. I never heard anyone talk down on him. And even when, you know, the rumors of his passing 2 weeks ago started, you know, prematurely, people immediately were like, oh, man, everyone loved this guy. Because not only was, you know, he this creative force and a true entertainer, but he just supported everyone, you know? Everyone had stories about how he would just call up randomly, you know, and be like, yo, what's up? It's me. You good? You good? I just called to tell you I love you. He was a true collector of records, of toys. You know, people said that they said he joked that he had two houses, one to live in and one for his records. His record collection was huge. And dude that Fat Joe was interviewing said that he played some Dougie Fresh track. I forgot which one it was. And Biz hit him up and was like, yo, it's Biz. I heard you play that record. I'm going to come for that. He didn't even ask them, can I get it? Is it, can we trade? You know, what can we do? I need that in my, he said, yo, I'm coming for that record. And the dude said like 2 weeks later, he was DJing at Latin Quarter and Biz just showed up and he came in the booth and he was like, yo, give me that record. And you know, that's what people just loved about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he also used to play the whole name that sample game. And I will, you know, like Busy Beastie Boys was talking about that as well, and a few other heads are just talking about how they would have this idea of whatever record we had, you had to name it, name that tune. And Biz would not only say he knew the tune, he said he have it. So he pretty much said he had everybody's tune that everybody was sampling for or looking for. So that was something quick that was nice to share about the whole
idea. Well, I definitely give Biz some credit for his DJ skills. I was lucky enough to caught him DJing at a party, and I didn't even think of Biz as being a DJ.
He's right? Good, like, too.
Oh, no, nasty. He's been a DJ.
Yeah, but a lot of people...
He used to mix with his stomach. That was the best. He's just, fucking juggle records with the stomach.
Dude, in irony, Joe, the last time we linked up and did some stuff was way back from St. Louis sometime, and we had that layover at... Me and Q had that layover at the spot, and we ran into Biz Markie. And... real quick, that story was pretty much, yo, there go Biz with Q. Q at the time had that Friends white label that he was putting out on vinyl, NWO record.
The Mike and Ike.
Yeah, you got what I need, that stuff, right?
Yeah, Mike and Ike with the Friends.
Yeah, the Mike and Ike, that's what it was. And he wanted to see if he can get a shout for him, but Q could not move and was scared to, like, get at, you know. So pretty much what happened was track works over. I say, yo, listen, you know, my man's, you know, he's not only is he a big fan, he kind of interprets you on some records and he would love for you to hear it and he would love for you to do a drop, but he's really shy on doing it. So Biz pretty much sat down with us and spoke with us about stepping up. Pretty much he was like, yo, a closed mouth won't get fed. You guys got, you know, whatever you want, you can't be scared to ask for it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I at the same time, I'm starstruck. So I'm trying to hold back all the, but you're the greatest in the world and all this other stuff. But the funny part to me, which is not super funny, is at the end of that whole conversation, Q was just super quiet. Q pulls out his recorder and says, so can I tape you now? And Biz looks at him for like 5 seconds and says, nah, I'm good.
Oh, why you talk about stepping up and then you gonna do that? Take your
Man, it was awkward, dog. You know how if you were there, you would understand the awkwardness after that whole ordeal was like, dog, you know, yes, we should talk about it. But even the way you're still coming at it, it's still weird, especially after you played his voice on the record, which now Biz is saying, so you want me to co-sign this record with my shout out on top? And this is highly valuable to you. And I'm not sure about it because how the whole situation happened.
Well, you know I feel about fucking high post people when they don't want to do shit for you. Go fuck yourself.
Well, it was also right? Someone illegally sampling him.
Just a friend? Are you crazy?
And
come on.
Yeah, he sampled it and was making money off of
off
it.
Off of it? And with no show it to him.
Actually, press the record with his voice on it.
Yeah, that's real bold, man.
Scared to see him to tell him. I had to walk over. There's all these awkward things in between of what was going on. And he ain't beef about it, to be honest.
Exactly. I was just going to say, and he didn't beef about it.
He didn't beef about
he
it.
Actually, he actually sat down and was peace, but was like, nah, I can't do a drop.
Yo, he kind of just like got to the drum and bass part and understood what was going on. It was like, all right, so yeah, this is like a breakbeat situation y'all did. All right, yeah, you know, whatever, boom, boom, boom. But he just got into a whole conversation about music and
he was trying to drop some gems.
He was dropping gems and he said, yo, right now I just became a DJ to connect back to JoJo. And says, yo, right now I'm getting ready to go do a show and I'm getting $100K for this. And we were like this.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he said that at some point in the 90s, he decided to take the DJing a lot more serious. Like,
yeah, later he transitioned 90s. Into that as being the main, his main thing.
He knew it. He really wanted to be able to represent with like real skills, not just playing like disco records and having fun at the party. You know, because he was known for playing like any genre he felt like.
And then there's the lore that Odie was talking about, actually, with the 700s, you know, the techniques for 45s, like that he has the only pair in existence. Well,
and Fat Joe and this DJ, they were talking about the story behind that, actually. And what it came down to was,
what did they say?
Dude that owned the techniques, Japanese right. guy, his son was a huge Yo Gabba Gabba fan.
Wow. Oh my
God.
Okay. And he basically really wanted to get his son a couple of tickets to Yo Gabba Gabba.
Wow.
And Biz was like, and he, I really would love some Technique 12s that would play my 45s. And that was the deal they struck. He got those Technique 1200s. Well, not 1200s.
The 700s. The special edition. Like SL, SL7. The They're crazy.
For 2 Yo Gabba Gabba tickets. But how amazing is that? But then the DJ was saying that he uncovered, the DJ uncovered some old school Michael Jackson turntables that came in some like yellow box. And when he was setting up for the party, he had his 2 Michael Jackson turntables, and he had like this like wooden mixer, like old school mixer, and he had it all covered up so no one could see until it was time to start. And then he took them off and he rocked on those. And it was just like a week or two after, you know, Biz showcased his new techniques. And apparently next time they saw each other, Biz was like, yo, man, why you do that to me? And he's like, do what to you? Yo, man, no one remembered my shits after you broke out those Michael Jacksons. So apparently he was always clowning like that. You know, he had a real, like, gentle giant sense of humor. And in fact, he dubbed himself the comedy prince of hip hop, right?
The clown
prince. The clown, there it is. The clown prince of hip hop.
I really can't think of anybody before Biz that was on that sort of like funny ordeal. Like, even if you try to, the closest I'm coming up with is maybe Busy B. But prior to that, it was just everybody just trying to throw some raps around. And everybody wasn't necessarily serious. They were just having fun. But Biz pretty much, that's, he was not before the Biz. Come on, bro.
No, who? Not before.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. But like prior to him, like I'm trying to figure out where does his like inspiration come from, if it does come from hip hop at all, because it's interesting, you know. From him comes people like the Beat Nuts, comes people like Shock G, comes people like, you know, you can go through the list of names of all, you know, even at some point Tribe Called Quest and these guys as well. All just had like this idea of being yourself and expressing yourself and having fun with it. And I haven't, you know, it's a really unique thing for me right now. It's really, you know, like to know that Biz played a part in hip hop more than most people probably know.
You know, he's part of his DNA for sure.
Yeah. Look at this. This scroll on the screen right now,
crazy, is
all these classic tracks that sampled Biz Markie. I mean, this list just goes on and on. And we're talking about Wu-Tang,
yeah,
Beastie Boys, Nas,
Q, crazy,
Heavy D, B.I.G., Maya and Jay-Z, Tupac, 50.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is just, you know, the 10 they picked for for this story.
Right.
Bofty.
Fofty ain't been out in a while though, bro. Yeah, he's back to Vinny.
Fofty be clowning people though, constantly.
Come on, man. Who else pulls off this outfit with a ho 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 chain? Come on, man. Biz is unique, man.
So,
Biz
was a real was unique the individual. Cause of death. Was it
complications from type 2 diabetes?
Yeah, it's not official yet, but that's pretty much what everybody thinks.
He's been struggling with his diabetes for the past year.
And our man Dame Dash is also a diabetic. Am I right? What? But do we know?
Our man Vandal's a type 2 diabetic. Yep. My man Ghostface Killer is a type 2 diabetic. There's a lot of diabetes in the hip hop industry.
I mean, can you educate us a little bit on it? Like, because people need to be aware of that kind of thing. Because I also had a cousin go blind from complications.
Number one, diabetes is the single leading cause of blindness. Okay. Wow. Complications from diabetes. And diabetes, it's kind of an immune system deficiency, okay? Because what happens is, now, type 1 diabetes is mostly in children, okay? And they are not able to produce the insulin to break sugar down, right? And that means carbs, because carbs just turn into sugar when they're ingested. Type 2 diabetes is when you can produce insulin, but it still cannot break the sugar down. The body has a hard time processing the sugar. Okay. So you have to shoot insulin before every meal.
Right.
And another one at bedtime. So most adults that develop diabetes, they develop type 2.
Okay.
My mom is pretty much passed on type 2 as well. So yeah, there's all that, you know. Yeah.
I mean, it is an epidemic in our country, to the point where when you apply for a job, you know, they do the whole like self-identification questions, like,
right,
are you white? Mm-hmm. Are you a veteran? And then they say, do you have a disability? And the top choices for disabilities are like blindness, AIDS, diabetes. And I'm like, yo, every time I'm applying for a job now, I'm like, so well, do I have a disability?
Well, correct me if I'm
wrong. And how does that affect your like employment in general?
Well, you start to think, like, is it going to help me to get the job if I have a disability? Do they need someone with a disability to like balance their numbers?
Yeah, but if it's don't you have to be extra careful about getting injuries to like your digits and your feet or things like that? It's something about like
very often, because diabetes will inevitably cause circulation problems.
Mm-hmm.
Many people end up losing digits, having a foot amputated. Okay, right. Things like this. It's not uncommon.
Isn't it that the injuries to extremities, such as the hands or feet, can be more dangerous as opposed to someone who does not have diabetes?
Correct.
Sure. For example,
if your blood doesn't get oxygen, is really what it comes down to.
I don't have an injury to this hand, but when this hand gets cold now, and I don't mean like winter cold, I mean like fall cold.
Like just uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah.
My hand will start to hurt real bad.
Is it arthritic pain, or is it more like just circulation pain?
You know, like when you go out in the freezing cold and your hand gets numb and you come inside and it kind of like throbbing hurts as it's thawing out. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like that, but really magnified, like to the point where you're rolling around on the couch like, oh, man, I just got to deal with this for like 5 more minutes and I'll be good. Oh, you just like, come on.
And there's no temperature regulation for that or anything?
Nah. That's why I know I can't take gigs like painting a wall outside in the winter. No, that don't happen. Mm-mm. In fact, sometimes when I wear gloves in the winter, they still get too cold and start hurting. Even like regular leather gloves, not enough insulation. Got to step up my glove game. I had a couple of broken knuckles back in the day. And now, because of the diabetes, like I have a, it locks. You see this?
Mm. Yep.
Oh God, Jesus.
Ouch. And sometimes when I wake up in the morning, it's just locked. And I just gotta, I gotta work it out to like get it to pop back open. You can't force it because it'll hurt real bad. You could really mess something up.
So you can't Mel Gibson that shit and just slap
Mel Gibson. So these days, you know, tracking your diabetes,
tracking your sugar levels
is it's you know just as important, and they make it you know easier. They have needles that are thinner that don't really hurt when you poke yourself. They hurt a little bit, but like Ghostface told the story once about how when he found out he was diabetic in the 90s, he said back then when you prick your finger, man, that shit hurt. He said so I wasn't trying to do that. He said I knew I had to take my insulin when I had to pee a lot, because that's another symptom of diabetes. You got of unchecked diabetes. You got to pee a lot. You're thirsty. You can't quench your thirst. You're lethargic, even if you had sleep.
Well, I was going to get into that. I'm glad that you that you're answering that, because it really is about, for those that might be listening to us, it's about awareness, right? And awareness of your own personal health, right? Like, so, you know, if you're, you know, maybe seeing those kind of warning signs, then maybe time to do a blood check, or I mean,
you got
to
start controlling the portions that you eat. You got to start cutting down on the carbs, which means especially mainly white flour, white rice, white bread, white pasta. Okay. Yeah. Those are real potatoes.
Yeah.
Those are really going to fuck you up. Okay. Then you got to be mobile. You got to be active, you know? Like, you have circulation problems, guess what? You should be stretching.
Okay.
I mean, it's these are common sense. Your blood sugar is too high, you got to stop eating candy bars and drinking soda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but I mean,
yo, man, I went to breakfast with my son.
Diabetes, am I right?
What was that? What was the question?
There are people that have a low sugar diet and maintain a low sugar diet that also can develop diabetes. Am I right?
Absolutely, because diabetes can be genetic, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're predisposed based on genetics. Like, yes, you can also trigger it by leading a unhealthy lifestyle, but it's very common that if your parent has diabetes, that you're going to be at risk as well. Okay. So the story I was telling is that, you know, I went out to breakfast with my son the other day. It was like early in the morning, and we sat down and he ordered like two eggs, any style and whatever. And the guy's like, can I bring you a drink, Coca-Cola? And I'm looking at the dude like, that's the first thing
morning
you offered my son with his breakfast.
Piece of shit,
dude. And me, I don't even drink juice anymore, because
Robert orange De Niro? Juice
will That's fuck terrible. You up. Apple juice will fuck you up. You know really? What fruits you can eat as a diabetic? You can eat berries.
I was about to say strawberries.
Berries are not sweet. They're more. They're on the tart side.
No good for you.
Okay. A banana is not sweet, but a banana is going to give you those carbs. You know, right. Banana's going to bring you up.
Carb is going to turn into sugar. Alcohol, for those of you that don't know, alcohol.
Yep. Beer and brown liquor. But mezcal, because of the process, how they use the agave, mezcal can actually bring your blood sugar down a little bit.
But it can bring your crazy a whole lot further.
Oh, yeah. So, listen.
Good for me. Not for you.
The point of the story here is, you know, a lot of these legends, they're young in terms of lifespan, but they're not young in terms of like metabolism. Biz Markie died at 57. By 57, you should have your routine. And I'm not saying that he didn't. You know, he Biz Markie was no fool, and he was also kind of a wealthy dude. He could afford to have a personal trainer, a personal chef. He can afford to, you know, go to the fancy organic market and, you know.
I think we did see pictures of him in a more healthier look.
He was looking good.
Yeah, for a good while.
He was looking good. And, you know, we don't know the details.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not official.
The lifespan of black men in general is... And I know this from my father not having lived very long, comparatively speaking. You know, the lifespan of black men is already something that's, you know, lower than the standard lifespan of anyone else in the U.S. And that's due to a lot of different things. You know, sickle cell. Shout out to our brother Scorn.
What up, Sco?
But you know, for black men, I mean, we deal with a lot of different things, right? Obesity, diabetes, sickle cell anemia, hypertension, heart disease. A lot of these things we're really, really susceptible to, and I'm saying that as a cigarette smoker, alcoholic, drinking, you know.
Yeah, you know,
watching my diet. Type person at 47, right? So, I mean, you know, but for those of us that want to stay conscious of what they're doing, right? This is a really, this whole thing with Biz Markie being gone too soon due to something that's manageable like diabetes.
Yeah, no one's saying it's easy.
No one's saying it's easy, but the tools are there.
Right?
Right. And there are people that have talked about it at length, right? The guy that we were talking about
last week,
Dame Dash, maintains his diabetes.
Well, Dame Dash also spent a fortune on having a personal chef following him around for two decades.
True.
Okay. And insulin is not cheap. It's super cheap to produce.
That's even whole other over.
Somebody got rich off of insulin right now.
But a pack of insulin pens, I should have just pulled one out. But a pack of insulin pens, without insurance, probably $400 or $500. You know.
And how long does that last?
A few pens. I don't know. Could be a little over a month. So you don't have any insurance. You're paying.
You're paying.
You're paying, or you just. Gonna die?
Yeah, if you can't control your blood sugar. Okay, so number one.
Really? No.
Regular people blood sugar is usually between about 65 to, like, let's say on the high end, 100. Okay. Blood sugar level. Really should be between like 60 and 90. All right? Pre-diabetes, I guess, you know, like 140 and down. If you got 140 and you're not diabetic, you're about to be. Okay, that's not good. When I had to go to the hospital because I was getting all kinds of crazy, I thought my appendix was going to bust or something. And they're like, Have you eaten yet today? No. And they're like, well, your sugar is in the 300s without eating yet, which means you've been living in like the 400 or 500s. Okay. They're like, you got to start shooting insulin 4 times a day. You got to start checking your blood sugar before meals and then an hour after meals. You got to start exercising. You got to cut out the sugar. You got to cut out the carbs. Like, when you first find out you're diabetic, it's culture shock. You don't know what the fuck you're going to do.
It's also life changing because if you've had a series of habits and, like, you know what, like, you and I have been out and we've fucking feasted before.
Oh, yeah. No more Crave cases at White Castle. You ain't going for the 2-for-1 Big Mac special. Well, fuck out of here. God. That shit is done. If you're out there eating McDonald's and you're diabetic, you're not trying.
I've got to be perfectly 100% honest with you because I've talked about that before. Like, But dietary restrictions for me, definitely, as a person with an addictive personality, would have the most adverse effect on who I am as a person, probably more than, like, you know, maybe cutting out smoking, right? Like, really, like, if someone says, okay, no more spicy food for you, Joe, no more steak, no more cheese, no more peaches, right? No more strawberries.
You can have, dude, strawberries.
It would be really tough for me to figure out how to not go for these kind of things, but breads, especially pizza.
I gotta say that we do have, thanks to, I guess, the, you know, the upgrading of food. You do have the good upgrading options.
Of food.
I don't know what to call it. So
we have an amazing amount of options. Vegetables.
They're called vegetables.
Okay.
It's a vegan lifestyle. Now,
future vegetables.
It's not just about being a vegan or a vegetarian.
Right.
Like, you can still eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
You should try to limit, because, you know, diabetics are more prone to also develop high cholesterol, which is also more likely to cause you heart problems.
You have a higher
risk of heart attack, you know?
That bacon and eggs every day will...
And that's a good point, because when you find out you're diabetic, you're like, shit, I can't eat this, I can't eat that.
Bacon and eggs.
You start thinking, well, I can eat eggs. Eggs are still okay. You start eating mad eggs every morning. You know, you're like, egg is fine. I can eat like 3 eggs every day, no problem. Yeah, but anything in excess is going to be bad.
That's right.
You know?
Except kale.
And in fact, if you have your sugar under control, you have your diabetes in check, you could go have a slice of pizza or two. You shoot your insulin, and that's it. You don't have pizza again the next day. You know, no one's saying you got to be a robot now. You want a little ice cream one night? Just know you're eating one scoop of ice cream, and you got to shoot the insulin to balance that out. The whole thing is a balancing game, right?
Right.
Just know. Because some people think, oh, well, I got cash, I can afford insulin, I'll just be, you know, popping insulin all day. Well, number one, immediately the insulin puts on like 15 pounds when you're using it responsibly. When you're overdoing it with the insulin, obviously that just keeps going up. And that's why, you know, the fat stay fat. You know, for real.
I just wanted to add that, as said to my doctor, at a certain time and age, you have to give up all the good foods. Like, well, no, not to say it in such a way, but like all the pizza eating and all the other late night junk food and this and that.
It's
pretty much.
Pizza is a double whammy too, because the cheese is the cholesterol.
And then the bread.
The triple whammy is the cheese, the bread, and the tomato, because
sauce is sugar. It's all sugar.
It will turn into sugar.
Yeah.
It may not taste sweet.
That's sugar times three.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, you're right. It absolutely is.
Turn internally. Right. And that's the other thing that people don't realize. There's a lot of things that don't taste sweet that your body will then process and turn it into a form of a sugar. Later on,
like which type of
sugar compound it is, because the sugar, different sugar compounds can be, some can be broken down by your body and others can't.
Right. I grew up West Indian rice and beans, oxtail, jerk, you name it. Don't get me wrong, it's a good way of living, but that living was created for people in their younger 70s. Where they were out and, you know, working and in doing hard labor stuff, and all that starch that was ate was going to just burn off because they were just putting in the work.
And there might have been less corn syrup.
Right.
I was going to say, there's probably no bullshit in either.
Right.
No upgraded food, as you said.
Well, there's
so listen,
upgrade the food episode.
Let's bring it back to a positive note, and let's review some of these homages that that all people are putting up for the late great Biz Markie. All right, I'm gonna throw something on the screen here from Q-Tip.
Q-Tip,
you know, as we know, Q-Tip is a good friend of Biz Markie and right. often collaborated. He said, "This one hurts bad. R.I.P. to my Aries bro. Oh man, Biz Markie, damn, I'm gonna miss you. Yeah, so many memories."
Q-Tip threw up him and Biz Markie somewhere late night freestyling to each other on speakerphone. That was really fun to watch. Yeah.
Bootsy Collins, lost another rap legend, an American rapper, singer, DJ, record producer, actor, comedian, and writer. And this is things that are really important for people to remember. He's best known for his 1989 single, Just a Friend. A lot of us, this is something for the radio, was my shit. For a lot of us, to a lot of us, he was more than just a friend. RIP and prayers, Bootsy Collins. Right, that's a legend, and that's some crossover stuff right there. Where you know, the energy and music of Biz Markie, his art has touched so many people, right? And I can only hope that my body of work, that whatever I've done, like, is able to have anywhere even a quarter of the outreach that this guy has had, right? And there aren't that many.
Ollie Robinson too.
There aren't that many interviews with him when you think about it. Like just you think about high profile interviews. How many?
Well, you'd be surprised. Now, if you start digging around, you might run into a lot, because he touched a lot of markets. He wasn't just a hip hop guy.
Nah, he broke. He was deep though. Like, should we put this LL Cool J thing on?
Come on, who's got an album cover like this?
Oh, yo, that was the greatest good album.
Me on the toilet, you know, with my King Tut piece, taking boogers.
Yo, they need to bring back King Tut pieces. Rappers, if you're out there, step your chain game up.
I love this cover, man. I love this album cover.
That's the greatest hits album, I believe. Biz Baddest Beats or some shit like that. I think that is.
Yeah.
Oh, and since we're sending out rest in peace wishes, you know, to someone else out there that's personal, that was a personal friend of mine from Dallas, Texas, I want to say rest in peace to Carissa Marvin, who was a really good friend of mine out there in Dallas, who we lost also around the same time as Biz Markie, but lost her to cancer. So, you know, to her family, the entire Dallas people that knew her, you know. My condolences to all of you guys, and rest in peace to Carissa.
Never forget, Biz Markie had a beatboxing segment on Yo Gabba Gabba called Biz's Beat of the Day. And he went out on tour, right? There are thousands of kids who first love music because of him. And it's true, man. My son knew who Biz was before Just a Friend. Okay? Actually, he probably knew Just a Friend at the same time. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, look at the outpouring here. Like this dude went beyond hip-hop, okay? Right. Way beyond just hip-hop. And I want to bring up this story that Dante Ross shared here. Said, the last time I saw Biz with Breakbeat Lou, Breakbeat Lou was in town, and Biz, for those who don't know who Breakbeat Lou is, he's the man behind a lot of like the Ultimate Breaks and Beats records, and really well known DJ, like dope producer, but amazing DJ, true digger and beat encyclopedia. So he was in town, and Biz was playing at House of Blues in Anaheim. I invited our friend Jeremy Brown. I knew he would dig it. He loves music, and hanging with Biz is always an adventure in musical history. We drove down, and the laughs and stories ensued. I asked him a bunch of goofy record nerd questions like usual and laughed my ass off at his answers. Cool V was riding shotgun with Biz and functioned as story editor, fact checker, straight man, and road manager. Watching him and Vaughn was classic material. My heart really goes out to him today. He held Biz down forever. It was just a fantastic, life-affirming hang. One my friend Jeremy brings up all the time. Really going to miss Biz for all the genius that he was. And he was also a really nice person. If you've ever gotten a phone call from Biz, the joy of him beatboxing or singing at you through the phone. Shit, he once sang "The Night Chicago Died" over the phone to me for unknown reasons. In the late 80s, he showed me a ton of breaks. Always started the combo with "You ain't know this, Dante."
Yeah,
it was often a WABC music radio classic that started with a break like "Hand in the Man" by Ocean or something goofy like that. What a great dude. We all loved him. He's the spirit of what makes hip-hop so wonderful. No rules, spontaneous and joyful, celebratory, pure and soulful at its core. I could go on and on and on till the bright Shirley Murdoch morn, but I'm going to leave it there for now. There will never be another like him. Rest easy. I love you, man. Dante is always great for these stories, man. Yeah, Dante definitely needs to write a book.
That was probably one of the best salutes that I've heard someone write about someone else. Right? Look, the power of making someone laugh. Right? The power of making someone smile. Like, you know what? Every time you heard a Biz Markie record, you wanted to smile. You wanted to laugh, right? And not laugh at him, laugh with him. He was doing this stuff to make people laugh, right? He was bringing joy to people's life, right? That's a really important thing, whether you're in music, whether you're writing, whether you're in comedy, any of these things, right? Bringing joy to people's life, they'll always remember the time they laughed their hardest with you, you know? If you can do that for people, if you can make somebody laugh, you can make somebody smile, do it. It's probably one of the best things that could ever happen to someone. It's just that little thing. It's being able to make someone laugh.
Laughter heals, man. It really heals.
Definitely.
Yo, Fubs, you got the audio for the LL?
I just want to say, rest in power to Bismarck, my friend. We have so many memories, man. He was in the basement of my grandmother's house when I wrote Rock the Bells. Used to always hang out back in the days and be running around Queens, Long Island. And I'm glad we got to do what we got to do towards the end, some of the things we got to do, man. And yeah, love you, bro. And I want to send love to all your, you know, all your fans, millions of fans around the world, your family. Send my love to your family, to your wife, your management. And rest in power, bro. All right? Love you, man. Peace.
This guy touched everybody.
Yeah. LL J, man, talking about his man, the Biz.
And when he's saying that the stuff we were able to do, you know, more recently, Biz was a midday host on Rock the Bells Radio.
Midday.
No.
Amazing.
Yep. You got anything else up in those tabs that you want to share?
Let me send to you real quick.
All the stuff you've been sharing, similar stuff.
Okay. I'm going to send it to you. Go ahead. Check out, that's the Andrew Leroy Davis situation. If you don't know who Andrew Leroy Davis is, if you ever watched the back of the Source magazines when they were a thing, he was the dude that did all the ill illustrations of the artists and ways. But his story is pretty long, but it's a really good one.
Yeah, look at these photos, man. Come on. Just me and the Biz. And remember, the story behind that was Biz didn't show up to the video shoot.
He didn't show up for the recording either. That's Master Ace's voice that you hear on me in the Biz.
That's not bad.
They took it and ran with that.
How about this? It's either Nobody Beats the Biz or Make the Music with Their Mouth. I think it's Nobody Beats the Biz. Do you think you know who wrote Nobody Beats the Biz?
TJ Swan.
No. Yeah, well, it's inferred because Kane didn't write that. You know, people think it's Kane, but it's been rumored and hopefully proven that Rakim wrote that. How about that?
Rakim
wrote Nobody Beats the Biz.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to research that.
You're going to have to look hard.
Somebody get Rakim.
It makes sense. It makes sense because Rakim was just coming up about that same time. So,
the reason Track mentioned Kane is because many people might not know, actually, that Kane wrote half of, you know, Biz's big album. You know, in fact, Kane wrote a lot for Biz Markie. Yeah, and when the news of Biz dying dropped like 2 weeks ago, people were looking to Kane and Shantae, you know, for the confirmation. And yeah. Kane was one of the first people go up on Instagram and be like, no, you know, let's stay positive, you know, let's keep them in our hearts. Oh, yeah, read the Missy Elliott post.
Said I can remember so many times trying to beatbox like Biz until my lips were sore, and whatever we saw in each other, your energy was always full of life, love, and good vibes. Your impact with the culture is forever. You'll never be forgotten.
Like
he touched everybody's DNA. Look at that. Questlove.
Had a good story.
He tried to get him to collect action figures, and Questlove was like, that's enough. He's like,
Scratch, I think, met him when he was sick at the time on the first thing and told him he would come back and check him. I forgot what was significant about it, but it was something about records they was talking about. He never got a chance to come back, of course, to fill in the gap. But yeah.
This clip on the screen was from the classic recording, live recording of Shantae and Biz in the Bronx. Okay. Yep. We came here. Tonight to co-act ill and get me started. I was hoping I wasn't going to be the one that had to do the interpolation of the Bismarck beatbox.
And I both sampled that.
Yeah, I mean
Pete Rock sampled the hell out of Bismarcky for like half of his records at one point. Probably up to now, he still uses Bismarcky's "Funky" or "To my man."
Oh, I love that.
You know what I mean?
That was one of my favorite things on one of his records. He starts the record going,
And hey, let's not forget the Bismarck dance. How long has that been around?
The Bismarck
is going off.
Questlove said, Biz built me, man. In my early stages, it was Biz who taught me the real places to cop records. Biz taught me what cities had good digging. Biz taught me where to collect 45s. Biz taught me where to collect 8-track tapes. Biz tried to get me into Star Wars action figure collecting. Biz taught me where in Tokyo I should go to collect vintage iron on decals. Biz would call me Zero in the morning. Hey, Quest, I bet you don't know the sample that comes from. Biz plays the sample. Biz, I hear it. What's the sample? Ha ha ha. I told you you ain't no Quest. Click. Biz got a lunchbox collection. I got a lunch boxier collection. Biz got a weird turntable. I got a weirder turntable. The only thing I could one-up Biz on was Soul Train. Hey, Quest, I got James Brown doing funky President and Funky Drummer in the same episode. Biz, there is no such episode.
I bet you
I got it. This is the reason I had to get a farm. All the friggin' one up in game he and I played over the last decade. This cat was one in a million. I'll never forget my first time at Nerd Prom doing O's first name, and Biz was the DJ, and I asked him, what's the wobble? Biz loved getting you if you weren't up on something, especially a know-it-all like me. Hey, Wong, he don't know the wobble. Whole crew eye-rolling me. He plays it, and I never seen a black song transform an entire room of suits. The press, White House staff, even Rachel Maddow ran from behind her bar. She was serving drinks and got down. He taught me a lot. I'm using all the education he taught me. We will miss him, but we will be here forever. Love you, Biz. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was sweet.
That's excellent.
Man. Yeah, but LaCour's, I'm going to try and do it, brother. Let me see if I can do it right.
Do it. Like, you got it.
I feel like I'm going to get it wrong.
Well, we'll read the Fab Five Freddy post in the meantime. bring that Fab Five back down.
There I'm going to miss my friend Biz Markie.
And do you see it?
Okay. Hip hop genius. I directed his music video for The Real Coogee Rap in 1990, Erase Racism, that featured Big Daddy Kane and Biz. Sings the chorus, making us smile. Think about just how stupid racism really is.
We got no audio, but that's okay. And then there's Redmatic.
Yeah, we had the Redmatic too. Yeah, let's go through a few of those.
This is heartbreaking. Rest in peace to the diabolical one, the one and only Biz Markie. Thank you for being our hero. I'm very lucky that I got to meet you, DJ with you, and become friends with you. You'll truly be missed, bro. This one hurts.
Yeah, definitely hurts, man. You ready for me here?
Wait, Hammer. MC Hammer. I want to see that one.
He's an amazing human being. He put smiles on millions of faces and was loved by all. A true hip-hop legend. He will be missed, but never forgotten. Authentic. Original. R.I.P. Biz Markie.
For real, man. Everybody got to speak up for Biz, man. Everybody, yeah, you know. Man. All the times we met him over at Albee Square Mall as well and all that.
Wyclef, Biz Markie passed away at 57. First time I saw was Apollo Theater. I was 18 years old. He was a true goat. Rest in peace, brother Biz. Yeah, you know, Big Daddy Kane told the story of how he stepped to Biz at the mall and said he wanted to battle him. And he kicked some rhymes. And Biz was like, yo, you roll with me, I'm going to get you a deal. And Kane gives him all the credit for getting him signed.
Wow. Wow, that's dope.
That's this, yeah, but
pretty much.
Yep. Yep. In that one. And in fact, go to official Big Daddy Kane.
And, Kane is a legend. Kane is a legend.
Check that out. All right, Track, you got something up there for us too, right?
Yeah, after Andrew Leroy. I've been waiting on that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's a long read, so I'm trying to see. El Draco is here. I never wanted anything from Biz Markie, and he never wanted anything from me. But through the years, we always seemed to wind up giving each other shit. I first met Biz at 1988 at the Coliseum Mall in Queens. Shout out to all those cats. When I was visiting my cousin Nike of the Mighty Shirt Kings. Shouts to those dudes as well. Fresh from the studio, Biz grabbed a box and popped up a cassette and blessed all that were in earshot of the now classic Just a Friend. Laughter, smiles, and applause ensued. Skip around to 03. I'm sitting in a hotel lobby in the middle of 42nd Street interviewing Biz for a piece I was writing for the Av magazine. Wow. I had a copy of a black and white illustration with me that I had drawn for the source years before of Biz Naked, but wearing a barrel. He signed it for me. But he also made me promise to send him a copy of it for himself. 2012, and Biz reaches out to me and asks if he can utilize the hip hop head that I had drawn of him. One thing that never happened up until that point was an artist actually reaching out to me first and asking if they can use my art before just using it. I obliged and chose not to charge them. The next thing I know, my illustration of this face is prominently on the cover of his laptop and then on wherever he was DJing throughout the world. I was rocking with him. 2015, I have a one-man show, 50 Shades of Dre, that's about to hang in the gallery up in Harlem for my 50th birthday. I had an Indiegogo campaign running to raise money to help with framing and publicity and promotion. My phone rings and it's Biz asking me if I can meet him downtown Brooklyn, more or less where Albee Square Mall used to be those days. I get there and he hands me a good amount of dough to help out and says, if you had let me know in advance about the show opening, I would have DJ'd you for free. 2016, I create t-shirts to honor the old school politics and hip hop. One of the shirts features Biz and his lyric, "When I run for prez, you best be your voter." I have them listed in my Etsy shop for sale at about 3:30 to 4 o'clock in the morning a.m. I get a notification sale. I click to see what was ordered, and it's a Biz Markie shirt ordered by Marcel Hall. I was like, wait a minute. Why does that name sound familiar? It used to be a stickler. I used to be a stickler for reading credits on albums. Marcel Hall was big Biz Markie's ordering and paying for a shirt with his own image in the front. There is and will be no one ever like him. And it went both ways, but I thank you for your support through the years. Enough respect, Biz, an RIP. And there go the pictures of the amazing face. This is the face right here. This is the amazing one right here. That's crazy. That's that Biz was using all over the place. But, I was always a fan of what the illustrations were. You know, it was times I would get the magazines just to see who was about to be spoofed on and whatnot. So,
Yo.
Yes, Biz Markie, a true, true hip-hop icon. I mean, come on, man. When Just a Friend came on, Yo MTV Raps, everyone just sat there like, what did I just watch? And then the next day, you're like, damn, that shit stuck in my head. Yo, that shit was crazy. Yo, I hope they play that again. Yo, I got to hear that Just a Friend again. It was just wildfire, man. And you know, then you started digging, you know. Then you found the Vapors video, you know. Then you started digging, going back to the album before Just a Friend, because Just a Friend wasn't the first album.
No, the Going Off album. That's my favorite album, it's the first album.
This is the album. This is the joint. Come on, man.
And the Bismarck song was hard on here. That boom, boom,
Markie
boom,
was boom, boom, boom,
boom. Wait, we can't hear you, Joe. What'd you say?
Bismarckie was behind one of the biggest sample controversies.
He's the reason they're sampling.
Yeah, literally.
Right. Because of the song where he's singing.
He's singing Frankie.
Yeah.
So it was Frankie's People's that was after his ass.
It's a huge portion of a Barry White song, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the reason for sampling law. Like, before him, there was no precedent. And then that, like, set the precedent. That case.
Yo, thank you for joining us for Sunday Crunch. We love Biz Markie.
I love you for joining us.
Please go out there and bump the legend today. All right, more Garbage Podcast. We'll be back for Hot Take Tuesday. Please join us.
We'll be back. Like you to be Gene and Michael Jackson. Come on. We love you, Biz.
For the radio.
We love you, Biz.